The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, welcome, welcome everybody. It's nice to see you all, wherever you might be. Just a warm welcome. And today I want to talk a little bit about this idea of meditation in general, and maybe even loving kindness practice in particular, sometimes has this idea of it's part of a way in which we can take care of ourselves, take care of our minds, take care of our hearts, as part of just this general wish or program or movement towards taking care of ourselves. But sometimes there can be this sense of if we want to take care of ourselves, that somehow that's selfish or we shouldn't do it or it's indulgent. So just wanted to just say a few words about this, that this way that sometimes self-care and self-indulgence can be conflated. And people say self-care when they really mean self-indulgence, or maybe people don't mean self-indulgence, but that's what we're thinking. And makes perfect sense that we would think that. I know that there certainly are some companies that want to sell us something, sell us goods, sell us services that only provide kind of this maybe like a more of a superficial aspect of self-care, which can be valuable, can be helpful, but sometimes they seem often frivolous and maybe indulgent. So there's certainly that aspect to this whole idea of taking care of ourselves is linked to buy something, an object or a service or something like this. But what is the difference? Like, what is real self-care? Well, one way we can look at this is to look at, well, what is self-indulgence? Indulgence is kind of, it's like this, just this gratification of our whims, gratification of our desires. And that they're meant just to make us feel better in the moment, and maybe provide a temporary escape, which has value. I don't want to devalue that. But there's not so much a concern with long-term effects, or there's not so much a concern of how can I change my life in a way so that I don't need so much self-care because it's not quite as stressful. So we could ask ourselves, is this self-care or is this self-indulgence? Is what we're doing just a temporary quick fix? And again, not to say that temporary quick fixes are terrible, but just to recognize that that's what they are. And to recognize that sometimes self-care is not exciting, it's not beautiful, it's not fun. Instead, it could be something like setting limits, which takes a little bit of discipline. Like maybe, for example, how much social media we consume. Sometimes social media or mainstream media, the news, right, are meant to sensationalize and only give maybe like one side of a story and emphasize things that maybe aren't in our best interest. Or maybe self-care is setting limits, such as waking up early to go exercise, to meditate, or plan our meals for the day so that we can eat well, or help us take care of loved ones. And so just this idea of maybe like teasing apart that sometimes self-care, I'm, of course, going to link it to some of this loving kindness meditation, which is not always easy. takes time. Sometimes it's fantastic. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it just feels flat. And we're wondering, really? Is this what I'm doing? You know, I wanted to feel better, but here, sometimes loving kindness meditation doesn't feel juicy or lively. That's okay. That's the way it is sometimes. It doesn't have to be a problem. So, I don't know. I just wanted to say these few words of encouragement for all of us to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others. So that we can help be part of what creates these strong, wonderful communities that support one another. And just for us to recognize there's different ways in which we can take care of ourselves. And loving kindness meditation is one of them. And part of the way that loving kindness meditation helps with self-care is twofold. I'm not going to go on and on about this, but one is when we're doing loving kindness for ourselves, maybe that's just an opportunity for us to soften or quiet the inner critic. Maybe for some of us, the inner critic is not that loud and present, but for some of us, sometimes it can be really loud and sound very authoritative. So maybe some loving kindness practice is a way is to like let the inner critic go to the side while we allow ourselves to take care of ourselves. And loving kindness practice often just kind of softens our hearts, opens our minds in some ways that it takes so much energy to be constricted and filled with anger and ill will, fear. And some loving kindness practice is a way that in an indirect way that can be really just what's needed, just allow a little bit massaging, opening up our hearts and minds so that we can have some new ideas, we can have a breath of fresh air, so to speak. So self-indulgence and self-care. It's recognizing that to take care of ourselves has so many different dimensions. And when we hear these words, self-care, not necessarily to assume that it's indulgence, but could be an opportunity for us to show ourselves care, respect, honoring where we are, what's happening. And loving kindness practice helps us to do that. Okay, so that is an introduction. Let's do some meditation. So taking an alert, upright posture. Posture that expresses care. So to be comfortable and yet also to have some uprightness that expresses our intention to be present for our experience as best we can. So is there a way in which we can infuse some warm-heartedness into our posture? Without being too stiff, without being too lackadaisical, maybe? I'm not exactly sure which the right word is. And just feeling into this moment, feeling into the body, maybe tuning in to the feelings in the face. Our faces are so expressive. Often they hold tension or some emotion. Can we bring some warm-heartedness to the sensations in the face? And the shoulders. It's not uncommon for us to raise our shoulders, a little bit of tension. Can we have them be away from the ears? Shoulder blades sliding down the back. The chest. Is there a way that the chest can be just a teensy weensy, just a little bit more open by putting the shoulders back? Maybe it's not even noticeable to somebody else. So allowing the chest to be open and the belly to be soft. Feeling the back. And feeling the pressure of the chair, cushion, couch against the body where you're sitting. In the buttocks, in the back of the legs. Feeling the lower legs, the feet. And the arms. And the hands. And then to rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the movement in the chest or the belly. Maybe feeling the air in the nose. And just tuning in. To what it feels like. Just a reminder, you can always come back to this practice. Mindfulness of the sensations of breathing or mindfulness of the body for whatever reason. And then to begin a loving kindness practice. Bring to mind a lovable being. Someone for whom it's easy to feel care and warm-heartedness. Bringing this lovable being to mind, and connecting with them. For some, this will be having an image of the lovable being. For some, it'll be more just a felt sense or an imagination, maybe. It's a little not so much visual. Whatever works for you. And whether this lovable being is somebody you know, or is imaginary, cats, dogs, kittens, puppies. Can we extend goodwill to the lovable being? And then, to support our loving kindness, can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe there are other words that resonate more for you. You're welcome. You're welcome to use other words. These are classic phrases. There's nothing magic about them. Just an invitation to keep it simple. And use phrases that are an expression of goodwill. Kindness, care. And then to extend our loving kindness to a good friend. Somebody that we know, that we have a relationship with. To extend our goodwill, our warm-heartedness to them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Of course, we want our good friends to have their life unfold in a nice way for them. Maybe in some ways, self-care for us is having our friends, knowing that they are happy and healthy. And if they have some sickness, to be extending some compassion, some goodwill, so that their life might unfold in the best way it can. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Connecting with this good friend. Connecting with our good wishes for them. and then to extend loving kindness to ourselves. Bring into mind either the experience of sitting here right now, or perhaps an image of yourself, an image that makes you smile. For some people, maybe they have a photograph or when they were a child that is filled with delight, whatever it might be. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. In the same way that we extended loving kindness to the lovable being and a good friend, can we do it for ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Part of taking care of ourselves is allowing ourselves to feel the goodwill we have for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. part of self-care is setting limits. And to do that, it can be helpful to practice equanimity. We'll do a little bit of some equanimity practice. And for this, bring to mind somebody that you care about, yet sometimes is a little annoying or troubling or bothersome. And then you have this phrase. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground and the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This idea of self-care takes so many different forms. Loving kindness practice can be an integral part of it, you know, to take care of our hearts and our minds, to bring some softness to them. And to recognize what is indulgence And to recognize sometimes care also means setting limits, going to bed early so you make sure you get enough sleep rather than binge watching whatever is catching your attention or something like this. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk about this. Maybe this idea of self-care, maybe it sounds exciting and great and want to do it, or maybe it sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like people with the nail polish getting their nails done exclusively, it sounds like that, or something, I don't know. And then how do we know what's indulgence that's unhealthy, or some indulgence maybe that's helpful, makes us feel supported, and maybe changes the mood enough that then we can see things a little bit differently, not feel so overwhelmed. So this, what is your relationship to this idea of self-care? And is self-care, how does that relate to in your mind? How can you tell the difference from when it slips into indulgence? So that's the question. Put you into groups of 3 or 4. At least that's how the groups start, but I know that sometimes people leave and then sometimes there's left with fewer in a group. Yeah, that's just happened right there. So I'm going to just doing some adjustments here. Okay. So you'll be in the room for, how about for 14 minutes? So you have an opportunity to really talk about this. And it can be helpful not to say everything you know about the topic, so not like one monologue after another, but instead just to say one point, and then it goes to the next person, and they say one point, and then it goes to the next person, and they say one point, and then it comes back around to the first person. And now you've heard other ideas, and maybe it reminds you of something different you had to say, or so. And this way, kind of collectively, you can share wisdom as opposed to just one person. Sometimes it can happen, right, that one person does a lot of talking and then there isn't a lot of room for the subsequent people. So let's do this, go in order of the length of your screen name. That is the number of characters in your screen name. If you have a very short screen name, you'll go first. So here we go. Have fun. So welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? Yes, Richard, I see you have your hand up.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I get caught up a little bit when you were talking about self-indulgence and whether or not that should involve guilt or not. And so I was a little bit confused about that.
So can you say a little bit more? What do you mean by whether it should have guilt?
Well, I think a lot of us, when we hear the phrase self-indulgence, and you're implying that we should sort of avoid self-indulgence, that we should, the corollary is that if we don't avoid it, where we should, you know, we're going to end up feeling guilty about it, or when we do, when we are self-indulgent, we will feel guilty about it. And my hunch is that it's kind of an irrational, non-Buddhist reaction to self-indulgence.
I see. Yeah. So, I don't want to say that's, if we're calling it self-indulgence, is bad, right? To kind of say, you know, sometimes it's just what is needed to help kind of shift the mood, shift the, if we're stuck, like in a particular way of seeing things or feeling things, it can be helpful to take a bubble bath, or I don't know what it might be, to watch lots of, to binge watch something on Netflix or whatever it might be. But I think the key is to notice the difference between self-indulgence and self-care. That is, self-care is often has the bigger picture in mind, or self-indulgence is something in that moment that we can do that doesn't really take a lot of effort. And to not think that, two things, not to think that just self-indulgence, maybe I should use different language, but not to think that that is going to solve our problems in the big picture, whereas self-care can. If we do the work of setting limits, if we do the work of figuring out, okay, what is the way in which I can put in motion things that will make my life unfold better or that will diminish some of the stress. So I don't think guilt has myself, and actually the Buddhist thing would say guilt doesn't have any place here. It's more about what creates the conditions for more and more happiness, what creates the conditions for more and more welfare in our lives for the long term. So does that address your comment, Richard? Yes. Yeah. Guilt. Yeah, guilt. Oh, ouch. It's painful. I don't recommend it. Does anybody else?
Diane, I just wonder if self-awareness might be more helpful than guilt.
Well, I would say certainly self-awareness is always a good idea, right? It's never a bad idea. But in the Buddhist context, we would talk more about having remorse. That is okay. Recognizing that harm has happened and to see like, oh, okay, I don't want to live a life in which harm is being done. And then to recognize, well, how did it happen, and to investigate and to learn something from it so that it's less likely we'll do it again. Whereas guilt is more about me. Oh, I'm a bad person. I did this. I'm always doing bad things. Nobody's going to like me anymore, or whatever guilt is. So guilt is all about me. And remorse is more like, oh, there was harm. There was something unskillful, unwholesome that happened. And what can I learn from that so that it doesn't happen again? It's a different emphasis. So thank you, Rebecca. Okay, so we're 2 minutes after the hour. So hoping you all have an opportunity to take good care of yourselves and to take care of others. And why don't we unmute and say goodbye in an unruly way. So bye, and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you. Goodbye, Linda.
Thank you, Diane.
Bye. Bye, Barbara.
Bye. Bye, Barbara. Bye.